I told this story before. I tried to do it about once every 5 years. And it's a story. Is this on yet? Yeah. There's a story of a town where all the residents of this town are ducks. Every Sunday, the ducks waddle out of their houses and they waddle down Main Street to their church. They waddle into the sanctuary and they squat in their proper pews. The duck choir takes its appropriate place. And then the duck minister comes forward and opens the duck Bible and he reads to them, "Ducks, God has given you wings. With wings you can fly. With wings you can mount up and soar like eagles. No walls can contain you. No fences can hold you. You have wings. God has given you wings and you can fly like birds." And all the ducks shouted, "Amen." And then they all waddled home. That'd be funny if it wasn't so true, was it? Wouldn't it? How many times as God's people say amen to the rousing rhetoric and then go home to live such dull and dreary lives? We can fly, but we waddle around like we're tied to the ground. Spiritually, we could soar to great heights, but we continue to wallow in the muddy puddles of this world. So what will it take for us to fly? What will it take for us to soar to the heights that God has designed for us in this world? What will it take for us to really break free from the habits and the attitudes that keeps us grounded here in this miserable world? Now you might think, isn't that a little bit over the top? No, it really isn't. God has no desire for us to live the way we live in this world. He wants us to be free and He wants us to fly spiritually. He wants us to be different than the rest of the world. And then over the next several months, we'll be, as we go through the book of Galatians, we're going to see this reoccurring theme over and over again about freedom, being free. Being free from sin, being free from the law. It's going to be over and over again. You know why it's over and over again? Because we don't seem to get it the first time. And so let's look in Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And the question is, if you want to fly free, you'd say, "Well, doesn't everybody? Terry, does everybody want to fly free? Does everybody want to break the chains?" No, they don't. It's crazy. But if you want to fly free, then the first thing all of us must do is listen to what God says. One of the hardest things for me is to tell somebody the truth about how they can get out of a predicament they're in, and they're just like, and they have no idea. There's no way they were going to do what needed to be done to fix their predicament. Don't listen to me. Listen to what God says. So let's read it. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. That's verses 1 and 2. You say, "Well, there ain't much there." Really? Let's see about that. Number 1, we find out that Paul is the author, but he is no ordinary author. He is an apostle, one who's been sent by God Himself. No man sent Paul to speak to us today. Paul is not here. I'm here. I'm not sure you'd want Paul here. But he's not here. I stand before you today primarily because back in 2000, July of 2000, almost 18 years ago, the church voted to put me here. Now, I would hope and assume that I'd be someplace else preaching, but y'all gave me the opportunity, the authority to come and stand behind this pulpit to preach and minister to you folks. Now, I have no doubt that God called me to preach, but I am here behind this pulpit at Olive Hill because on July of 2000, this body called me to be a pastor. And even though I believe that God led me here to preach the word, the leading came from a human agency. It came through many of you. Well, that's not the way it was with the Apostle Paul. There was not a person who said, "Paul, you're it. You go out and you do this and you do that." There was no person that said, "We're going to authorize you to come and preach." There's no human agency involved at all. No man authorized Paul to say what he had to say. He got his authority directly from God. As a matter of fact, in Acts 26, Paul describes his experience with the risen Lord himself. He says, "About noon, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companion, and we all fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you.'" Christ himself showed himself to Paul that day. He gave him the words for Paul to say. The reason why this is important is that you better listen to these words. Now, if Dan comes up and Dan says, "Oh, God spoke to me last night, here's what he said," I'm not going to really listen to Dan. But Paul, I will. Through his word, through this book, we will need to listen. We better pay close attention. We better listen very carefully to his words, because they are not his words. They are God's words. I'm going to tell you a little story just to illustrate how powerful these words can be. A pastor went to Poland during the Cold War, and he was involved in several weeks of ministry. And one winter day, his sponsors drove him in the dead of the night to the middle of nowhere. He walked into this building that was falling down, crammed with 100 young people. It was a unique opportunity, and through an interpreter, he preached from John 15, talking about abiding in Christ. 10 minutes into his message, the lights went out and it was pitch black. Decision time, what do you do? Well, the interpreter urged him to keep talking, so he did. Then after he had preached in the dark for 20 minutes, the lights suddenly blinked on, and what he saw startled him. These 100 young people were on their knees, and they remained on their knees for the rest of the message. The next day, a man who was there told him, "After you left, we stayed on our knees most of the night. Your teaching was new to us. We wanted to make sure that we were abiding in Christ." That's the kind of attention that we need to give God's word. That's the kind of attention that we must give this word here in the book of Galatians. We need to listen to it as we're on our knees, not as high and mighty and letting part of it go in and part of it. We need to be abiding in those words, paying close attention to everything that's being said, because he was not only talking to the churches of Galatia, he was talking to you and I today. Let's listen on our knees as if we'd never heard it before. And let's listen on our knees asking God to give us ears to hear what he says to us. If you and I want to be truly free, then we too must wake up and listen. Believe his word We must believe it when He says, come on, I'm here to save you. I'm here to rescue you. I'm setting you free. We need to listen. Oh, please trust the Lord to do what He says. Depend on Christ to set you free from your sinful habits and your desires. You can't do it on your own, by the way. And if you want to be free, then we must believe what God says. We must believe grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. God Himself is setting us free. God Himself is rescuing us from this present evil age. God Himself is saving us from the bondage to our destructive habits. Notice in verse 4, it says, it is Christ who paid the price for our freedom, not us. He is the one who gave Himself for our sins. Now, when someone goes to jail, typically there is an opportunity for parole and for early release for good behavior. And that happens quite a lot. And that's the way parole boards work. But that's not the way God works. God doesn't base His decision to release us on our own or on our behavior. If He did, none of us would ever be released. Well, I'll let you out. I'll give you some freedom when you start doing right. I would never be free, and neither would you, I'd imagine. For all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. God doesn't base His decision to release us because of something we did. No, He bases His decision to release us because of something that Christ did. Not us. Are you trying to break free on your own? Forget about it. You can't do it. The door can only be opened from the outside. Christ gave Himself for our sins. That is to say, Christ was punished instead of us. He paid our price, our penalty. Christ served our sentence. Christ died in our place on the cross. And that's what Jesus did when He died on the cross. And that is the only reason God chose to set us free, not because of something we did, but because something Christ did for us. Christ paid the price for our freedom. In fact, our freedom is not even our idea. You know that? We don't even realize that we're jailed, that we're enslaved, ensnared. We don't even realize it. It's His idea. It was our rescue is according to His will. Not ours. When they tell you that you just can't have great willpower, that's not going to work. You just got to have willpower and you can get rid of those things. You can quit being ensnared, enslaved in the throes of sin. No, give it to God and let Him take care of it for you. Let Him fight that battle. If it were up to us, we'd probably remain in bondage. Believe it or not, there are people who like wallowing in the mud holes of sin. They like it a lot. We enjoy our sin too much. The Bible says there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. We're not even looking for the freedom that God provides. Instead, God comes looking for us. Let me tell you another story. A New York Times reporter, Nicholas Kristof, chose two Cambodian prostitutes and attempted to buy their freedom from their brothel owners. He selected young women who were there against their will. They were willing to tell their story and actually wanted to leave prostitution. Now, so they wanted to leave this life. The first woman was Shraneth. And it was a simple transaction for $150. Christoph left with a girl and a receipt. And then the next one was Shray Mom. That's her name. It proved to be a little bit more difficult since the brothel owner decided to had to have more money. And after some really bad negotiations, the owner accepted $203 as the price for Shray Mom's freedom. But then Shray Mom told him that she had been pawned for her cell phone and she needed $55 to get her cell phone back. Now here she is. She has got the opportunity to leave that life. And what is she worried about? Her cell phone. Don't laugh. There are several of us here today that would have that same issue. He said, "Forget about your cell phone. We got to get out of here." And Shray Mom started crying. He told her that she had to choose her cell phone or her freedom. And she ran back to her tiny room in the brothel and locked her door. And with Shray Mom sobbing in her room and refusing to be free without her cell phone, the other prostitutes, her closest friends, began pleading with her to be reasonable. Even the owner of the brothel begged her, "Grab this chance while you can." But Shray Mom hysterically refused to leave. And she only stopped crying when Christoph agreed to buy back the cell phone too. Then she asked for her pawn jewelry to be part of the deal. Christoph reflected upon the complex emotions making the decision to leave the brothel, that made it so difficult. He says, "I purchased the freedom of two human beings so that I can return them to their villages. But will emancipation help them? Will their family and villages accept them? Or will they, like some other girls rescued from sexual servitude, find freedom so unsettling that they slink back to the slavery in the brothels?" He says, "We'll see." It happens all the time. Sometimes we're like that woman. Christ has purchased our freedom. But we hang on to the little trinkets of this world. And we prefer the familiarity of the bondage over the unsettling prospects of freedom. Doesn't make sense. But we all do it to some extent. Where we get tied down to the things of this world when we can soar like eagles spiritually in this world. But the things of this world tie us. And that's why God had to take the initiative to set us free. And that's why it's according to God's will, not ours. Jesus, God's Son, paid the price for our freedom, not us. And it was all God's idea, not ours. And that's why... And God the Father Himself does all the work. In verse 5, it says, "To whom be glory forever and ever." To whom be glory forever and ever. When you're in prison, there's nothing you can do to open the door to freedom. Someone has to open it from the outside. So it is when we are in bondage to sin, to our own sin. There's nothing we can do to open the door for our freedom. Somebody, and that somebody is God, He has to open the door from the outside. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith and not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." God is the one who sets us free, and it's not because of anything we've done. We have nothing to boast about when it comes to our freedom. God does all the work, giving us freedom as a free gift. Then and only then are we free to do all the good things that God's designed for us to do. Look at the next verse. Verse 10, Ephesians 2. Go back to the next one there, please. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, we're not just talking about a ticket to heaven in the future here. I like it. I like my translation of the word workmanship better. For we are His masterpiece. Yeah, that's legitimate. That's a legitimate term. Created in Christ Jesus for His good works. We are His workmanship. We are His masterpiece. We're not talking about a ticket. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Okay? You've asked Jesus Christ into your heart. He has made you a child of God. You're going to heaven. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about the way to a life of goodness and holiness today in the present. In Galatians 1:4, it says, Christ gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. Present tense. God will not only give us heaven in the future when we die, God is in the process right now of rescuing us from this present evil age. God is the one who makes it all possible. God the Son paid the price for our freedom. God the Father had the idea, and God the Father is doing all the work. And all that remains for us to do, since everything else is done, is for us to believe. Believe. All we need to do is trust God to complete His work in us. All we need to do in daily dependence to live is have daily dependence upon God. Stop trying to work your way to heaven. Dear friends, stop trying to work your way to holiness. It's not on you. Let God do it. Quit struggling with those issues and those problems in life. Give it to God and say, God, it's yours. You promised You'd take care of it, and I believe You and I trust You. And instead, trust Christ for heaven and trust Christ to help you with a holy life. Trust Christ to rescue you from your present struggle with sin. Give it to Him. Quit trying to do it on your own. So if you want to fly free, live your life in His glory. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now I think most of you come to the point in your life where you're trusting, where you've trusted Christ to take you to heaven when you die. I'd say most of you would raise your hands if I ask you if you've done that, and you would. But there are some of us who are still trying to work our way to holiness. Struggling mightily, trying to please God with our lives. You're still trying to, in your own strength, to live a good life. You're trying in your own strength to break free from the evil influences around you. In fact, there are many believers who read their Bibles like a rule book rather than a love letter. Yeah, if I'm going to make God happy, I've got to do this. Good luck. They did that throughout the entire Old Testament, and they got so frustrated because they couldn't even come close to pleasing God that way. I remember years ago a believer telling me, I hate to read the Bible anymore because every time I do, I find something I'm supposed to do or something not supposed to do. And I can't keep up with all the rules. There's only two of them, fellas. People, there's only two. Love God with all your heart and your might and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Therein hangs all the rest of the commandments. If you do those two, you got all the rest taken care of. That's how many believers treat the Bible. They try to do everything on the list and wonder why they fail. And wonder why they're frustrated and feel guilty all the time. Do not live your life like that. That's not the life God wants for you. If you want to be free, then simply listen to God's word and believe it when He tells you, I'm setting you free, and then you live your life in His glory. Not live your life in your glory. It is not about you. It is not about me. But it is about God, and our lives should be a reflection of God who lives within us. And instead, it's always about what we look like, what we are doing. If we're going to be free, we got to cut the cord from our life to then this life, spiritually speaking. And when God tells you, I am setting you free, listen and believe, and that's all there is to it. Listen to believe God that He is setting you free. Listen and believe that God is right now in the process of rescuing you from this present age. He wants you to be rescued. He wants you to go to trust in Him. He wants us to fly free and have an amazing life in His will. So are you up to the challenge? Trust and believe. Hear and believe. Live your life by letting Christ exude out of you. So if you're not, if you are, if you're ready, I don't want to hear any quacks coming out. I don't want you waddling out of this building today. If you want to be free, if you want to fly, don't waddle the way you came in. Instead, starting today, let's walk out and begin to fly in our lives. Let's break free from the world's restraints and to soar like we've never before. Let's believe God for the impossible in our life. Let's live our lives totally different than the way we have, totally trusting upon Him. Cut the things that are keeping us grounded. It is amazing how we live our lives today and then come to church and totally don't hear a word or don't believe a word. And that's what it comes down to. Are we believing what we're hearing? Are we actually hearing? You may be here today and you think it doesn't apply to you. It does. It does. It applies to me. We're not where God wants us to be. We're grounded here in this world, and He wants us to soar on the wings of eagles. He wants our lives to be totally, dramatically different than what we're living today. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, He certainly can set you free. He's coming and knocking on your heart's door right now. And He's saying, I want to free you. I want to free you from this sin that's going to send you away from me forever. I'm going to send you to hell. I want to free you from that. And He's going to give you that opportunity today. You see, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't believe and trust in Him, you don't believe the words when it said He came and took our place on the cross, and you don't believe that by believing and trusting in Him, that you can be with Him in eternity, if you don't do that, then you are destined to go to hell. And right now, I believe That second person of the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, is talking to your heart. And he's saying to you right now, you need to come and you need to accept me as Savior. And if he's doing that, would you come up and would you ask him into your heart and your life? But what about the rest of us? Well, Brother Randy, I come to church all the time. I'm doing all these good things. I don't care. Are you free from this world of sin? Are you free from the bondages that's keeping you tied down to this life? And if you're not, if you haven't soared, if you haven't flew the spiritual heights that God wants you, that you can in this life, if you hadn't cut the cords to the sin that you just don't want to get rid of, you need to believe, you need to listen, and you need to live your life with the attitude of showing Christ instead of yourself. And he will do that for you today. And we can walk out of here today not waddling, but flying. Because God has given us wings. So are you ready to do that? You ready to change that life and quit struggling with this life of sin? Are you ready to give it to him, trust him, and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with it. He's going to say, I got this. And then just keep believing. Quit fighting. Quit fighting and struggling. Letting it free. So as we stand and prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I don't know what God is dealing with you about. I have a feeling right now that there may be some today that has never asked Jesus Christ into their heart and their life. I cannot imagine them standing here today, and God not speaking to their hearts in some way. Telling them that they need to come and ask Jesus Christ into their heart and their life. Don't delay, because we don't know what tomorrow brings. Saved children of God, let's fly, let's soar. Let God take our lives. Let God break us free from the evils of this present age. Let's see what true freedom is and can be. You can do that today. Just walking out and saying, Lord, so as we sing this morning, would you follow God's leadership? Would you follow what he's leading you to do as we sing?